You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon, the last trading day of the month of February. It is the 28th. Good afternoon to Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon, Dan. Thanks for being with us
Hi,
today.
Hi, Todd.
Hey, so tell me about the marketplace on this last trading day of the month of February.
Well, today's advance is in soybeans. Actually, soybeans ended up the month higher. I think is a good technical sign that maybe the soybean market does have some legs underneath it to maybe extend the rally on into the March time frame, and we'll kind of go from there. I still think we still have to be cautious and not get ourselves too carried away on the bull side. But today's export sales, a strong sign that China's going to stay in the market here for a little longer than what the market had anticipated, and that is going to be supportive at least to the old crop months, and that could possibly at least follow through into the new and maybe give us a little better pricing opportunity than maybe what we thought we were going to have two or three weeks ago.
Yeah, the export sales have been driving the marketplace for soybeans for quite some time, but eventually we will simply run out of beans or, well, actually, if the pace keeps up, we'll just run out of beans before the end of the marketing year, I suppose, and they'll have to turn somewhere else.
Well, we'll either run out of beans, but prior to that running out of beans, I'm sure what the market will try to do is to stop from running out of beans, and that is at least take old crop prices to the point that would encourage sales cancellations or some rolling forward of maybe some new crop months. The problem is Brazil or South America as a total doesn't appear to have the capabilities to move enough soybeans into the China market fast enough to satisfy their demand. So that is why we're seeing some sales switches coming from South America on into the United States, and that's basically what happened here today with this big sale that we were announced today. So at some point in time, that will crack. We're not going to run out of beans tomorrow or next week, but clearly we can't continue the pace, the export sales pace that we've been on at the moment for any meaningful length of time, but at least in the short run, China wants to buy U.S. beans, and that is what's driving the old crop soybean market.
Is there any indication that China is switching some of the sales that are already on the books from old to new crops so that that might relieve some of the pressure?
Well, I think that may be the function of the market at some point in time, but that's a little early.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about March 1 tomorrow. A lot of that switching from old to new really doesn't really get going until you kind of get into that June-July time frame. I mean, we don't even have our new crop planted, let alone produced. So until we get a little further down the road, China's going to try to, I mean, we're a reliable supplier of soybeans. South America is not necessarily a steady, reliable supplier. Argentina farmers are fighting with the government, and the government's ordering them to deliver 2 million tons of soybeans to the export market. You've got labor problems in Brazil. So, I mean, and overall inventory levels in China are at very, very low levels. Prices are rising, so they need inventory in there to keep prices from skyrocketing in China. So that is what we're seeing here as demand comes to the United States at a time when if everything would have been going smooth in South America, maybe they would be getting more South American inventories into their country.
You mentioned that the monthly close was higher. That would be for the nearby March or the lead option contract.
Correct.
But if you look to the November, it was an outside down month.
It is, but that's a different market back there. At the moment, you know, the trade feels that there's plenty of acres to go around, and if we have something closer to normal, type weather pattern that we're going to build inventory levels. That is the same story in the corn market. Just because that's the way the trade wants to play it for now, that doesn't necessarily mean that will end up being the case as we go down the road. We have two markets going on, very tight old crop inventory situation, and the potential, and I want to emphasize the potential, of a large big crop. And that potential could flip in a minute the other direction. So, but for the time being, that's the way the trade's playing it. We're losing a little interest in the index fund crowd, kind of moving away from agriculture, thinking maybe the bubble is over with. But at least for the time being, the demand story is in very tight old crop supplies on both corn and soybeans.
Yeah, well, supply story is titled crop supplies for corn and soybeans. But demand is, well, soybeans has been really strong. Demand for corn domestically has been pretty good, although it slips just simply because there's just not that many bushels around. But on the export market, it's just not there at all.
It's not there at all, but I think there's a window here that you're going to see a pickup of that. It's not going to be enough to make up for what we've lost, but there is going to be a window there that export demand could pick up a little bit. The key thing, I think, in corn is the rebound that we saw in ethanol grind here last week. Basically, it was the second highest grind for the year. And I think that is a good sign that maybe this ethanol market is back turn again. The margins are profitable. And then when you look at that overall balance sheet, and again, everything hinges upon how reliable USDA's December 1 stocks number is. But if that was halfway in the ballpark, there's still some demand rationing that needs to take hold. 600 million bushel carryout is not going to work. A year ago at this time, they were starting to plant corn in central Illinois around the 10th of March. That doesn't look like that's going to happen. They were planting corn in the Delta a year ago. Texas corn was being planted, and at the moment, Texas is dry. We're ready to plant, but without moisture, we're not going to plant, and the Delta is too wet to plant, and it doesn't look like there's going to be any early planting in Illinois or Ohio River Valley. So at some point in time, the market's going to worry about not having any early new crop inventories coming available. So that is going to make the old crop situation, I think, more bullish at some point in time, and I think that's part of the reason why this old crop market has jumped up sharply here over the past few days. We're going to finish out the week with a weekly reversal to the upside. Now, we did end up closing lower for the month, but it was an inside month. So I think technically corn is still in good position, especially the way it's performing this week, to extend that price strength as we go on into March. And then we'll kind of take one week at a time.
What's your view of the sequester impact on grains and oilseeds? It appears that's just going to happen tomorrow.
Well, I'm about 15 minutes away from the St. Louis airport to get back to my compound in Waco before Armageddon.
I get it. Okay.
I want to be surrounded by AK-47s before tomorrow at before tonight at midnight, given all of the fears that's come out of Washington over the past week. So that's where I'm headed. For the most part, I think that has been terribly overblown, and I think it just goes to show how difficult it's going to be to try to get our deficit in some kind of sustainable path. And I guess we'll see if Armageddon actually occurs tomorrow. I will be safe in Waco, Texas, with 65, 70-degree temperatures while you guys got cold and snowy temperatures up here.
All right. Well, you stay safe there. Hey, this afternoon, I received in the mail, and you were part of this to begin with, from Daryl Klusendorf at Klusendorf Steakhouse in Peoria. Remember, he played a little tune for us when we were there for the Pork Expo. He sent it to me, so I'm gonna take us out on your note and his song. How about that?
Okay, and I will I will fly back Monday, providing the airlines aren't all backed up for 10 hours or whatnot, at the Beef House with my Johnny Football T-shirt on and my Jetsons.
We'll let you in anyway. Hey, thanks so much, Dan.
I look forward to seeing everybody at the Beef House next week.
All right, thanks, Dan. Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He's out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. Now, here's Daryl Klusendorf with Eat Your Money from the Sky Harbor Steakhouse in Peoria, Illinois.
What will they do when the markets crash? What will they do when the markets all crash? I'm not a betting man, but I bet they print cash, print more money. The dollar's up to 40 cents a pound. Dollars are up to 40 cents a pound. It's a whole lot cheaper than a pound of ground round. Eat your money. You can eat it, you can smoke it, you can insulate your house. Blame it on your broker, the dude is such a louse. Stuff it in your mattress like it falls off dollar trees. I love it in America, the money's free. Eat your money, just eat the money.